Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers. This is live. A lot of talking first hour, but we're taking calls this hour. I mean, calls involve talking too, but it won't just be Rose and I talking. You are welcome to call 888-318-7884. We're talking annulments. If you have questions about your annulment, if you have questions about your situation related to annulments, yours or someone else's, or you just have a curiosity or an interest or an area that you'd like clarified, whether you're Catholic or not, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. We did a bit of the history of annulments last hour, and I think it's fair to say the reason that the Catholic Church has this this process called the annulment process is because the Catholic Church accepts the words of the Savior that once that marriage bond is formed, it cannot be divided. And those who divorce and remarry are committing adultery, and because we don't want that, we want to help clarify these situations and make sure that people are not falling into those kinds of sins and the abuse of marriage, and we have a tribunal to find out, well, did a bond form or not? And if not, then is it always because the No, I was going to say it's always because the marriage was illegal, but it's not necessarily that it's illegal. It just could be that there was a failure to form the bond. And so, like, because...
Well, illegal civilly?
No, I mean a violation of the law of the church, like that...
Like illicit or... You know.
This is what I was thinking, was that, like, if you marry your daughter, that's an illegal marriage.
In the eyes of the state?
In the eyes of the state
and the eyes of the
church.
Yeah, just
basic morality.
Right.
So I was going to – the way I was forming my question was, is that the only reason? But it's not, because you could have something that's technically legal, but you find out, well, this person has the inability to form a permanent bond. And so they didn't do anything illegal. They just are not able to do it.
Right. And then there, of course, is the current situation in our church that if any – baptized Catholic marries outside the Catholic manor.
Oh, yeah.
In the
defective
Catholic
form.
And that's, again, there's no psychological grounds or anything. They didn't do anything illegal, but it was illicit. It's not permitted, right?
Okay, so my questions to Rose thus far, to review what we did the first hour, were, are annulments just Catholic divorce? Are annulments overused and abused? Are the psychological grounds used in many annulments too subjective? Is it true that annulments cost too much and take too long? Can you give me a brief history of annulments we've gone through? Why are there more annulments in the United States than in other places? We covered all that in the first hour. More questions to go this hour, but I will also be mixing in phone calls as I go. But let me give you the next two kind of objections. I think they kind of go together. People will say something like this. This is just that the Catholic Church being legalistic and bureaucratic. Or alternately, this is just the Catholic Church trying to control people's lives. So is this just legalism, bureaucracy, and control?
Okay, let's take those three. There's nothing wrong with legal. We need laws. Laws keep us safe. Laws protect our dignity. Laws protect our property. Laws are good.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's a legal process, and that is good. Legalistic is an excessive focus and emphasis on the law at the expense of the spirit of the law. Carrying it, just like you were saying in your examples earlier, this is it. You know, you said I do, you have a marriage bond, and you can never get an annulment.
That's legalism. Yeah.
This is the law without bringing in the subjective and the spirit of the law.
Right.
So it's not legalism. It's not legalistic, but it is legal.
All right. So what about it just being a sign of the control? It's just Catholic Church trying to control
people. Okay, okay. The other one was bureaucratic.
Okay, yeah, okay, right,
bureaucratic. What is bureaucracy? Bureaucracy is hierarchy, systems, procedures. This book is full of systems and procedures and headings and subheadings, and it's very complex. But again, in complex cases, we need this to guide us. So there's nothing wrong with bureaucracy in itself in its purest form. The problem
is when it's excessive.
It's excessive, and people get into it, and they get lost, and it just goes on forever, which is ridiculous. So again, at the root of it, legal and bureaucracy are not bad words, but they could be overused and abused, whatever. Control, absolutely. The church, our mother, wants to control our behavior so that we flourish and are safe and are happy. Just like a mother says, you must get into bed at a decent hour. You must do your homework and turn it in.
My mother has stopped saying all of that thing.
Well, oh, God. Your poor mother.
Well, my mother passed this year. I forgot to tell you that. I didn't mean to just give you that news on the air, but she did stop. And, you know, I think in my 40s, she stopped telling me that kind
what?
Of stuff. She stopped telling me, go to bed, do your homework.
In my 40s. Next time on the show, you need to call in. Everybody knows your wife is Missy, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So.
That's not my mom. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Okay, so yes, the church does want to help us stay in the right lane. So she's put up stop signs and yellow lights and red lights and green lights. And if you see that's a form of control, then absolutely the church wants to control us in that regard.
Wow. Quite an admission from Rose Sweet. All right. I'm looking at full phone lines. So I do have more questions, but we're trying to get every question about annulments answered this hour. And since all the lines are full, I think I'll let some other people ask you questions. Is that okay?
Let's do it.
All right. Because sometimes you say to me, no, I've got another point to make before we go to the phone.
But
you
say
feel
that.
Never mind. I lied about that. Catherine in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on Catholic Family Radio. We're glad you're here. Catherine, go ahead with your question. No, Catherine?
Well, I don't know if I have a question, except that it's just always bothered me, and I've gotten over it. It's been so many years. But I was married, and the church granted an annulment after 21 years of marriage and three children, and my then present husband had an affair with someone at the office, and she was Catholic. She wanted to get married in the Catholic Church. She'd never been married before. She never had any children. But because we were pregnant when we got married back in the 60s, he used that pregnancy as a reason to say that the marriage was not valid because he married me for the wrong reasons.
And it was granted this annulment?
After 21 years. Yeah, right.
That is very painful, and I'm sorry. I understand. That's really hard to get an annulment when you don't understand it or agree with it. Were you involved in the annulment process when he went through it? Did you respond with the paperwork?
I did. And, of course, the tribunal used, you know, the written testimonies from both sides of, you know, his side and my side, my friends, my family, his friends, his family, and his parents loved me. They loved me. And he used, really, after 21 years, like I said, and three children, he used the fact that we were pregnant when we got married, and based on that, the church granted the annulment because he said he married me for the wrong reasons. And we got married in the church. He said he loved me, but the tribunal said, and I objected. And of course, at the time, my mother objected. And the vicar of the tribunal said, don't tell me, blah, blah, blah. But the church granted that annulment This was in 86. And he probably paid for the annulment. She wanted to get married in the church. And they are still married. But it was painful. I've gotten over it.
Well, Teresa, let's get a response I beg your pardon, Catherine. Let's get a response from Rose.
You know, Catherine, I hear the pain and sadness in your voice, and I totally understand. And since I don't know all the particulars of what he wrote and what he submitted and everything, I can't say anything about your case. But I do know in general, when somebody is pregnant, one or both of them feels like they have no other choice but to go forward, you know, and sometimes that alone doesn't necessitate grounds for annulment. Let me say that. If they were a good tribunal, they would also look at a lot of other things that he submitted. And you know, remember the questions on there are exhaustive. If it's a psychological case, they're going to investigate and ask about a lot of things. A lot of things, you know, what he was thinking and his motives and intentions, blah, 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 blah. So I trust that they did a thorough job. And if they didn't, I'm sorry for that. You know, those things do happen. It does, in my experience and understanding, I do not want to negate your sorrow and your suffering at all. But, you know, pray for him, pray for her, and just trust that God is going to bring everything out the way he does.
I'll tell you what I would like to do. Catherine, I love Father Sebastian Walsh's book on the parables and sayings of Jesus. It's a beautiful read, and I'm just thinking maybe it will give you some comfort. If you'd like a copy of that book, all you got to do is hang on the line and we'll send it to you. I have to take a quick break. Right back with more questions on annulment with Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live. Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Then there's a prayer that comes from fear. A lot of people are converted with this kind of prayer. They, you know, the old saying, there's no atheists in foxholes. Well, I hope that's true. It's amazing that sometimes the greatest conversions happen when somebody is so afraid, they suddenly reach out to God. Maybe their whole life they never reached out to God, and suddenly they cry, Lord, help me. Okay? Conversion.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet is our guest, and we've spent an hour going over every question I could think of about annulments for Rose. And this hour, if you've got questions about annulments, whether it's a personal question or not, whether you are Catholic or not, you are welcome to call. The next question comes from Mary, who was watching on Twitch. And Mary said this, my boyfriend is a Protestant, married in the Protestant church, and divorced. Why does he have to get an annulment if he's not Catholic? He's not interested in joining the Catholic Church at this point. He's doing this for me because I want to be married in the Catholic Church.
I love this question.
First of all, I'd like to say I love the boyfriend. He's doing that for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, God bless him for doing it. He doesn't understand it, he doesn't get it, but doing it for her.
But I hope he has the right attitude and he's not holding it over his head, you know?
Well, we can't tell that from the reading. But
Okay. So I never knew this, and this is a beautiful part of the teachings of the church, is that there is one faith, one Lord, one Spirit, one body. So anybody who's a validly baptized Christian, Protestant, right, in the Trinitarian formula, Father, Son, Holy Spirit with water, they belong to the one true church, One yes. baptism. Okay. Now, they're not living as Catholics, and they don't follow or understand or maybe believe what the Catholic Church teaches, but by reason of their baptism, they're one with us.
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's the other thing. By reason of their baptism, they are able to receive and enter into sacraments. They can have a sacramental marriage. So if two Protestants get married, we recognize they not only have a valid natural marriage as a basis, they also, by reason of their baptism, have a sacramental bond as well. So that can't be broken. Remember, this is what we've been talking about. If there's a valid marriage bond there by a man and a woman who want to be faithful to each other, open to children, and till death do us part, there is that valid marriage bond that comes into being, even for Protestants.
Mm-hmm.
So whether he's practicing Catholic, believes in Catholic, if he wants to marry in the Catholic Church, he needs to go through the annulment process.
Well, yes. Okay. So, Mary, I hope that was helpful to you.
Because the church is upholding that marriage between him and his wife.
Right. Well, you got to think. I mean, there's also that other person involved,
right.
the first wife.
Right.
Like, you got to consider
her. We don't know
her
rights. Story.
Yeah.
Right.
Mary, I hope that was helpful. Thank you very, very much for the question. We'll go up to Omaha, Nebraska now, where Tom is listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Tom? Welcome. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Okay, here's my question. I'd like your thoughts on this. Why is it that when they do the investigation, that they don't call in the priest or deacon or some nun or whoever, gave them their instruction? Because in these cases where they say, well, we were too immature, or like that first woman that called, they said, well, she was pregnant or something. Well, yeah, 15 years later, when they found somebody new, all of a sudden they were too immature and so on. Well, so why don't they call in the person that gave them their instruction and say, why did you approve them? They're the ones they would put on the hot seat and say, why did you approve this?
That's I'm really glad you're thinking about these things. And that does happen a lot in the annulment process. I remember I also did, I mentioned earlier, I did marriage preparation courses for a while. And I would see a couple in there, and I knew immediately they were not prepared for marriage. They weren't ready. They weren't in their right mind. And they should not be married. So that's not my call to make. So I would go to the pastor and say, Father, can you talk to them? Father would talk to them. And then I'd find out that they got married anyway. So I would go to Father, and here's what he said. Rose, it's the general rule that we can't deny the sacrament to everybody. And I do have an obligation to talk to them and listen to them, but I made a prudential judgment that I would grant them the sacrament of marriage. But Rose, I did, and you can too, write a letter and stick it in their marriage file that says, I have grave concerns. We told them this, we told them that. This is what we heard, this is what we saw. You know, that can be in there. So when years later they go through the annulment process, God forbid, there is some documentation in there that says, I saw there was something really wrong here between this couple from the beginning. So it can be helpful in getting the annulment, but it doesn't stop the marriage from going forward.
Tom, thank you very much for the question. Just one line open now, 888-318-7884. Teresa is in Oklahoma, listening on Oklahoma Catholic Radio. Glad to have you, Teresa. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call. My annulment happened, I want to say, 25 or 30 years ago. And God bless my mom, because she hounded me and hounded me and hounded me to do the paperwork. I did not want to do it. I was so hurt, so devastated. But now I just praise God that she persisted and that the annulment went through, and now I'm completely free.
Yeah.
But my question is, when in the annulment process, we filled out the paperwork and all that. My husband at the time did not want to pay because we had agreed on going half and half. So to force his hand, because he just kept stalling, I said, if you don't contribute, then I'm only going to submit my version of the annulment, and your version will not be part of this process. So my question is, because it's been so long ago, I've forgotten what has happened. Are both sides always considered, or are there cases where only one side is considered? And since I never saw what he submitted, is there a process to, what's the word I'm looking for, to petition to see what was submitted?
Good questions. First of all, you don't have the power to withhold his testimony. The church, to uphold the dignity and the rights of both parties and the marriage itself, opens the doors to both parties to submit their testimony and their witnesses if necessary. So when you got your annulment, he was notified to be, if he wanted to come down and get the paperwork or go to his parish and to become part of the process and tell his side of the story. So apparently he, you did say that he, you didn't get to see what he submitted. So he did participate and he did submit something, right? To your knowledge.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So, this is what I always counsel people. I said, look how you, 20 years later, now that you have some regrets in this, there's a point in the annulment process before it goes to the judges. The case is open to you and your husband to come and see everything that was written, what he said, what his witnesses said, what your witnesses said. It's called the posting of the acts, A-C-T-S. And you have about 2 weeks after that to submit any extra testimony or clarification, which I think is a good thing, and then it goes to the judges and you wait. So somebody, for anybody who's listening, if somebody says, oh, you don't need to go read what he wrote, just put your, now I'm like, no, sometimes it'll be painful, yes, but go take a look anyway. In general, I'm saying this. So when it's done, you also are supposed to get a copy of the decision of the judges so that you understand how and why they came to the decision they did. You have a canonical right to receive that, but they don't always automatically mail that out to you, and sometimes you don't know about it or don't understand, but you always have the right to go to the diocese and petition for a copy of the decision, the judge's decision. So that's something that you might call your local tribunal and ask them about.
Okay, Teresa?
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Teresa.
Yeah, that was a good question.
It was. All right, on we go, just because I'm looking at full lines here. Kate in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on the Covenant Radio Network. Glad to have you, Kate. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, guys. I love it when you two are on together.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. Thank you, Kate. I suffer through
sure.
it.
Sure.
Shut up.
You kind of touched on this briefly earlier. I'm wondering if you could just address with crystal clarity what the church teaches regarding pursuing romantic relationships while waiting for an annulment. Like, does that fall under, I hate to be so harsh, but adultery? And then also, to follow that up, is there any sort of, like, preventative medicine during the annulment process, like to educate or do catechesis on helping people understand what the sacrament actually is to prevent the continuing cycle of falling right back into the same thing? Because if someone is pursuing a romantic relationship while waiting on an annulment, it says to me that perhaps they don't understand the sacrament still. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Those are two really good questions. And I'm glad you asked for crystal clarity, because that's what Cy and I both want to give. What does the church teach on pursuing romantic relationships while you are still married? What is the answer to that, Kate? What does the church teach on pursuing romantic relationships while you are still married?
That is no.
Why would she say no? I mean, seriously.
I know the answers.
Okay. So the no is because you're still married and it's a violation of your wedding vows. It's an offense against the dignity of marriage. It's an offense against the dignity of the other person. So here's the thing. When you're when you don't have an annulment, you're still married. That marriage bond is still presumed to be there until proven otherwise, and you must live in a way that honors and respects that for a lot of reasons. I know a lot of, I'm sorry, lay people and clergy who will give the opposite advice. It's been a long time. You've been alone. You're a good Catholic. You feel lonely. The annulment's taken forever. Yes, you can go out with Joe or Harry or whatever, and you know, just don't have sex or anything. But yeah, it's okay. It's okay. God knows you're lonely. No, that's a sin. That is a sin, and everybody's afraid to say that. You just said yourself, oh, I don't want to be too harsh, right? We have to stop wanting to be too harsh because Jesus himself gives us that example. He said some things that were hurtful and harsh to some people's ears because they didn't want to hear it. But because he loves us, he's going to give us that crystal clarity that we what we need. Slow down. Do it the right way. Take the high path. You know, don't submit yourself to sin or you're going to pay a big price. Now, I guess when the music is coming, we got to wait for part two on that question, right?
Okay, Kate, can you hang on a minute, Kate?
Yes.
Okay, all right. We'll get through this break as quick as we can, then we'll be back. We've got almost every line full, just one line open, 888-318-7884.
What is the Catholic Church? Everyone seems to have an opinion, but the church never quite fits into the boxes people make for it. In The Faith Unboxed, author Andrew Petiprin looks at some of the most common boxes people put the Catholic Church in and explains why they don't fit. In doing so, he brings us closer to what the church really is, the institution founded by Christ. Order The Faith Unboxed today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
The Stigmata, the appearance of Christ's wounds on ordinary believers. Is it real or fake? What's the evidence? And if real, what could God's reason be for causing this? In God's Wounds, author John Clark offers what may be the most thorough, honest, and faithful reckoning with the stigmata ever written, examining the evidence and making sense of it both medically and spiritually. Order God's Wounds today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Join me for Beacon of Truth today at 4 p.m. Eastern
on the next Beacon of Truth, talking to Dr. Scott Hahn and Soulful Psalm 10.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live, Rose Sweet, our guests. And Kate on the line, and we're talking about annulments. And Kate had a second question about annulments that we weren't able to get to, about whether there's some way when someone has gone through the annulment process, maybe it doesn't seem to have recognized fully what the sacrament is about still, because their behavior following or during the annulment process, is there some way to prevent that person entering into future relationships that will end in future annulments. Is that right, Kate? Did I get the question basically correct?
You did. I'm just wondering if there's, you know, any sort of part of the annulment process that has that little bit of preventative medicine built in where there's some catechesis on the sacrament to prevent the same thing from happening again.
You know, technically, no, but if you look at the questions in the annulment petition or, you know, response form, it's pretty clear. Did you, were you of a, you know, were you mature, you know, did you have a, you know, addictions, you know, did, were you looking at other people? I mean, there's stuff hidden in the questions, so to speak, that says this is how you should not be, or you should not be dealing with this stuff. Does that make sense to you?
It does, yeah.
Okay, and also I might...
I mean, I've never been through the process, of, so I don't know what the questions are to the people who are petitioning.
Okay, good. I'm glad you clarified that. Okay, yes. If you just, you know what, I can send you one if you can't get your diocesan copy. Go look at the questions. It's amazing. It's catechesis hidden in there. And I would say get a good Catholic life coach, or get Rose Sweet's books at rosesweet.com. I have lots of books on marriage, relationship, annulments, divorce, divorce healing, rebuilding after divorce, lots of good stuff. I love your questions. So I'm here to help in any way I can.
Okay, I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kate. Again, lines continue full, so back to the phones we go. Mary is in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Glad to have you, Mary. Go ahead with your question.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a question about just some of the verbiage, because you keep using the word marriage bond, which is just a new, not necessarily a new term, but I always thought of marriage is a covenant versus an earthly contract is a contract. Mm-hmm. And a covenant is something between God and humans, where a contract is just a human to human. But is a bond just another way of you saying covenant?
Yes, that's a good, and I thank you for clarifying that. It's like we can have social bonds, sexual bonds, parental bonds, legal bonds, all kinds of important contractual bonds, but the marriage is the covenant bond.
Okay, and then just a follow-up on that. I thought that a sacramental marriage is a true covenantal bond, but it's like I felt like you were taking the word sacramental out of the marriage bond, and I might have misunderstood what you meant.
This is a helpful clarification.
No, this is really good. I'm glad you're asking this. Okay, so the Church teaches about natural marriage, and that is, remember that all of humankind is intended by God to be filled with His divine life and love, and to spend eternity with Him. And so every human person from the beginning of history, every nation understands basically that marriage is between one man and one woman, ordered to their good and to the raising of children, and its fidelity and permanence. Okay, so that's called a natural marriage. If two atheists or a Buddhist, two Buddhists or two non-baptized people say to each other, I want to be with you, open to children, faithful to you, for your good, till death do us part, they're entering into that covenant bond without the graces of the sacrament. They get actual graces, but the sanctifying extra super duper graces come also when both are baptized. So it's an extra layer of graces and help in the marriage that baptized people are able to achieve and receive through the sacrament. Does that make sense?
So as long as both the man and the woman are baptized Christians,
sacrament,
then there's the possibility of it.
No, they're baptized Christians. They enter in. The Church presumes they have a sacramental marriage bond. Now, if one is not baptized, or both are not baptized, they will only have a natural marriage bond. Also has a covenantal aspect.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Good. Okay. Good.
Thank you for clarifying.
No, thank you. That's a great question.
Let's go to Joseph in Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Joseph, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Hey, Si.
Yes.
I was wondering, I've known for some time that my nephew, he's getting married to his girlfriend, now fiance, but they've been living together. And so I've always had reservations about attending the wedding, but I was never sure if I should just... you know, forget the whole thing, or if it would be all right if I attended. Well, I heard this priest being interviewed on the radio today who just came out with a book about understanding the sacraments. And he said blatantly, no, I should not attend. So I informed my family about this. And here's the kicker, that his older brother, who is, you know, my nephew, he got this certificate where he can, like, validly marry people. And as far as I know, he is a Catholic in good standing. But his younger brother has fallen away from the church, where he got baptized. I think he received his first communion, but then he never went through confirmation. And my question is, if and when he were to decide to come back to the faith, I suppose that they would be required to get an annulment, but at this point it's probably a much bigger question of if rather than when.
Okay.
So what do you guys think?
Okay, there's a couple layers there. It's, do you go to the wedding or not go to the wedding? And if he comes back to the church eventually, does he need an annulment? If he comes back to the church and he's still married to that woman, and she has no prior marriage bonds, and he has no prior marriage bonds, they can just get married in the church. They will have that civil marriage convalidated, and as of that date, they are considered by the Catholic Church to have a valid marriage. So he can come in and bring, you know, she doesn't necessarily need to become Catholic. It'd be great if she did, but there's no problem with him coming back if there are no prior marriages. If she had a prior marriage or if he had a prior marriage, then yes, they would have to go through the annulment process to clear that up. Does that make sense?
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, it's really good to know. The doors are always open. That's what I love. But you can't just come the way you want to come in. Okay, so the next thing is, and I dealt with this myself personally, if you have a deep and tender and close relationship with your nephew, and to just say, I can't come to your wedding, the church says I can't, is going to cause a lot of problem. And there's a way to do that where I always recommend that you meet the two of them for dinner before they get married and say, I love you guys. I want the best for you. I want you to get married in the church. But until and unless you do that, here are the reasons I believe I can't be a public witness, because that's what happens when I attend a wedding. I'm a public witness to what you're doing. And while I would love to witness your attempts at marriage, what I think is the best way for you in the church, I can't witness this way. But I hope someday I can witness in the church. So that's a quick and dirty way of saying, meet with them, talk to them, love them. You know, don't just say, I can't go because the church says I can't. Because that's why people go, oh, well, the church is, you know, ridiculous. Does that make sense?
I did explain that all on a Facebook Messenger text, and explained how I love them and I want the best for them. But, you know, according to this priest, I should not attend. And I said, before I put God first before anything on earth, and that includes my family. That's the way I worded it.
Okay.
And I hope they have taken that in the right way. And
Let me give you some
let
me give you some pastoral advice. I also would not attend, but again, I would do it with great love and understanding. After they get married, make it a point to go visit them. Go visit them and take them out to dinner and ask them how they're doing. And, you know, maybe have a little plan to say, I'm praying for you, I love you, and I hope that someday you'll come into full communion with the church again. So don't drop them just in the name of avoiding a sinful witness, right? Stay loving. I think that's what Christ would do.
Joseph, God bless you. Thank you so much for the call. We have to take a quick break. Right back with more questions on annulments with Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The EWTN Radio Listener Comment Line is open right now for you. If you've got a question or comment about what you hear on EWTN Radio, we'd love to hear it. Call 205-795-5773. We'd also like to know how our programming has impacted your life or the life of someone you know. That number again, 205-795-5773. And thank you for listening to EWTN Radio.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and His gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet is our guest. We're talking annulments. If you have an annulment question, whether you're Catholic or not, you're welcome to call. And as a matter of fact, lines just opened up, so you're very welcome. 888-318-7884. Check out Rose's work at rosesweet.com. You still going out and doing talks? Like people could hire you as a speaker, or have you given it up? You are?
Yeah, you know, I'm doing it. Yeah.
You still doing the your dripper thing?
Shh.
Oh, sorry.
You know what I'm doing? I'm actually going to be talking to the
priest.
Why
do you say shh? Because you like to surprise people with
yes.
it? Oh, I apologize. I'm sorry. I apologize.
The Diocese of Hong Kong wants me to address their priests, their deacons, their facilitators, divorce and annulment, pastoral ministry.
What?
They want to build up this whole, it's great. The Diocese of Hong Kong.
Tell them they need someone to come and talk about Catholic media there.
Ooh.
Yeah, tell them. And
let's
then,
both go.
Then give them my note. I want to go to Hong Kong. I would love to see Hong
okay.
Kong.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
Got to be nice to me, though.
Did you ever watch Hong Kong Phooey when you were a kid?
No,
never mind. That was a car. It was a cartoon, Hong Kong Phooey. Look it up, kids. It was a great cartoon. Let's go to Joey in Boise, Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Catholic Radio. Glad to have you here, Joey. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, can you hear me?
Very well. Yes, Joey.
Hello.
Hey, Joey.
First time caller. I'm sorry. So my question is, once an annulment is granted and the valid is now never recognized, what happens with the kids? Does that mean that the kids' births are invalid or out of wedlock and baptism, First Communion, confirmation, not valid?
Okay, this, Joey, you were listening because, and this is like a natural question that flows from what I asked you, and I never followed it up. So I'm glad Joey did this. Because what you're saying in an annulment is not we're breaking a marriage bond. We're saying no marriage bond existed. So that naturally leads to Joey's question like, okay, now you've got kids. What does that mean for the kids?
Beautiful question. Let's clarify that. The civil marriage still existed, and the church does not deny that at all. The church understands the state is there for our protection as well, and to uphold the dignity of persons in the civil arena. So any children who are born in a civil marriage are, you know, legitimate. Illegitimacy is a civil term. It's not in the language of the church. That's from, property rights and legality. So when somebody is granted an annulment, the church says, you had a civil bond, you had a legal bond, you had social bonds, parental bonds, all those bonds, but you didn't have a valid marriage bond. But your civil marriage, we recognize that was there and that your children are absolutely legitimate and very beloved. And we're glad they're in the church and we're glad to give your children the sacraments. And we hope they flourish as Catholic men and women.
Does that work for you, Joey? Does that make sense?
That works. Clarification, that's all.
Yeah, it's a good one. Thank you. And it's really something I should have thought to ask, and I didn't, so I appreciate your help. Thank you, Joey.
Really good.
Thank you.
All right, more calls to go. Hong Kong Phooey was a dog who could do kung fu. He was on Saturday morning cartoons. Scatman Crothers did the voice.
No, none of this is
ringing a bell?
No, I was Rags the Tiger
Rags the Tiger?
Green Jeans.
Mr. Green Jeans. Oh, yeah. So the Captain
Kangaroo. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you are old.
I told you.
Well, Hong Kong Phooey is pretty old, too.
But I do. You know what? I do remember Hong Kong Phooey.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Can we just clip that out of the Rose saying, I do remember Hong Kong Phooey. Like that's just funny. I don't know why that's funny to
you
hear.
You young little whippersnapper.
You whippersnappers. All right. Stan in Charleston, West Virginia, listening on 1450 AM. We're glad you're here, Stan. Go ahead with your question.
Yes. Can an annulment be appealed, you know, if you have an adverse decision? Who would it be appealed to?
Absolutely. It can be appealed to another diocese. It can be appealed in that same diocese, but sometimes it has to be on different grounds. And you can call your tribunal and find out the particulars. But so let's say annulment was granted on the grounds of intention against fidelity. Somebody was having serial affairs, and you believe that that wasn't really grounds for annulment. You could appeal that, and you could also even open a new case with new grounds in the same diocese. There's lots of stuff that you can do with the local diocese or a neighboring diocese who works with the diocese that where the annulment came from. And let me back up. Until recently, it was standard in a lot of places where when you got your annulment, it automatically went to the neighboring diocese tribunal to take a look at it, give another set of eyes, and affirm it. That's not the case now. Pope Francis changed that in 2015. So locally, there's a lot of appeal options. You can also go to Rome, but I would say avoid Rome like the plague because there's, it does take, well, once it goes to Rome, it can take a long, long, long time there. So there's lots of reasons for that. But yes, a case can be appealed.
Okay, Stan?
If they do it to a adjoining diocese or whatever, another diocese, does one or both of the parties have to be a parishioner in the other diocese?
No, not necessarily.
Do they have to move or
attend mass
in the other diocese?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, okay. And let me just bring this up, when you're going to petition for annulment anyway, you may petition in the parish where you were both married or the diocese where you were both married or the diocese where you live now or the diocese where she lives now or the diocese where most of the witnesses live and most of the marriage took place. So there's four different dioceses that you can choose from just in the normal course of things. So, but you don't have to move. You don't have to do any of that stuff at all. The church is very accommodating to you in that.
Thank you very much.
Good question.
All right.
Thank you.
God bless you.
You too. Thank you, Stan. Thank you very much. All right, I'm just going to keep going. As long as people keep calling, I'll keep answering the phones.
These are great
questions. I know a lot of really good questions.
Yeah.
Some of them I should have thought of.
Well, me too.
For hour one, but I didn't think of them. Like, yeah, I know. I should have thought of some more of these. All right, Janine is next right here in San Diego. Hi, Janine. You got a question for Rose Sweet?
I do. Thank you, Rose. I'm hopeful that you'll give me some good news. I'm wondering if there's any hope for getting an annulment in a situation where several very, very holy people, some in positions of ministry at my very, 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 very good Catholic church, have recommended to me that I get an annulment. However, all of the potential witnesses are either deceased or unlocatable. What can be done in a situation like that? I mean, I can testify, but I literally know of no one else, who has any information that would be helpful in obtaining an annulment.
Wow.
Okay, I run into this quite often. I help people. They come to me and hire me to walk them from beginning to end through the annulment process. And they also don't have witnesses, but I, 9 times out of 10, when I get deep into the weeds of their story and their history, you can find somebody who can be an effective witnesses. It's just the average person who's petitioning for annulment doesn't think in that vein. So That's what I like to, there is hope. Here's another thing that one time I did an annulment for an elderly gentleman. He was 80. I'll never forget this. He didn't want to remarry, but he just wanted to get the annulment for closure. And I go, okay. But everybody, all the witnesses, they literally were dead. But here's the thing. I poked around and I thought, I got to find something. Anyway, he had kept a pile of letters, handwritten by his former civil spouse, telling him in her handwriting, and she dated the letters, everything, you were never the man I wanted to marry. My mother forced me anyway, and you've been a disappointment all my life, and I shouldn't have married you. I didn't want to marry you. I felt pressured. I felt forced. And again, I'm paraphrasing all this. It was enough testimony that he could introduce these old handwritten letters dated and signed by his spouse, and he got the annulment. And that's a short version of it. But don't give up hope. Have somebody who's experienced help you take a, you know, get into the weeds, like I said, of your story and see what they can come up with.
So how can I contact you for that very purpose?
Okay, it's just go to rose@rosesuite.com is my website, and you can contact me there.
Okay.
I'm happy to help.
I sure will.
Okay, God bless you.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much, Janine. I'm going to just read Nancy's because she couldn't stay on.
Okay.
All right, so this is Nancy in Cleveland. Probably listening on AM 1260, The Rock. Nancy said this, my marriage was annulled 50 years ago. And all I got was a letter in the mail, and I never participated with it. Mm. It felt like a slap in the face to be told that my 9.5-year marriage never existed. Mm. I left the Catholic Church after that. Should there be a limit to when you can seek an annulment?
Oh, that breaks my heart. So it wasn't just 50 years ago. The same thing does happen here today, and this is one of my big gripes, is that you do get form letters, and they use canonical language, and people don't understand it. And it is cold, it's impersonal, and it's not pastoral at all. And there's a million questions. Look, we've tried to, there's a million more questions that people have about the annulment process. And so there needs to be something at the parish level, because the tribunal isn't equipped to handle this pastoral aspect. To sit with people, to listen to their story, to bring out the Kleenex, to answer their questions, to hold their hand and walk them through, and to let them be angry and, let them be who they are. It was a slap in your face. Nobody intended it, but it was for you to just get a form letter. And if that's how I was treated in somebody's home, I would walk out too. However, I would say, come back. We love you. We want you. I'm personally sad that happened to you and that you left. I would love to help you and talk to you and listen to you and just be there for you. And I'm glad you called in, because Catholic Answers is the same way. Every day Catholic Answers is on the air to help people, to love people, to be there for people in their pain and their frustration and their anger. That's what apologetics is really all about, right, Cy?
Yes.
So, finally you agreed with me.
Well, so you were making us sound good.
Come home, Nancy. We love you and we want you back.
Praise God. Yeah, Nancy. I wish there was some way to, and maybe bishops can do this, but I'm sure priests do it all the time, to reach the people who just got that hurt that drove them out of the church, because somebody made it clear they didn't care about them. Well, and there's a lot of people, and I wish people would be, and maybe people hearing it will be careful about what they say to someone at church or how they treat someone, or because it's just so common that the person maybe leaves for 50 years like Nancy did.
Right. But it's on a certain level, it's very understandable, though. I'm not going to shame her for walking out the door when she was hurt. But sadly, nobody offered her all the beauty that we have in the church.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Now, God bless you, Nancy. Thanks, everybody who called and submitted questions and helped us out with trying to answer every question we could think of about annulments, and clearly a lot of questions we couldn't think of. So that made the show very, very good. Thank you, Rose Sweet, for coming in, bringing your show and tell item, Dignitas Canubi, the norms and commentary on
On the annulment process.
On the annulment process. Yeah. Plus 2 hours. I don't usually get to have you in here for two hours.
I
think that went really well. Do you feel like it went pretty well?
I hope it did.
Yeah.
And we're here for people. And thank you for the opportunity to bring the good news, because that's what this is really all about.
Amen to that. We got lots of materials to help you to learn about marriage. But if you want help in marriage, go to the parish and tell them you need help. I did it once in my marriage. Went to the parish and told them I needed help, and they helped. And I'm still married after... How many years is it, Rose? I don't know. It's 30 years. 30 years married this June. We were 30 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you very much. And thank you, Rose Sweet. It's always great when you come.
Thanks.
Check out Rose's stuff at rosesweet.com. That'll do it for us. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live. Yeah.